Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. Let's get straight to the docket. El Chapo, a Colorado resident at your local ADX federal facility, his wife was just arrested. Second, today is the one-year anniversary regarding the death of Ahmaud Arbery. Third, guess where these pills were found? Fourth, example of great police work. Police need help finding this guy. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Thank you for watching. Before we get to the docket, a couple of announcements. First, it is Tuesday. What does that mean? Tuesday Night Live. We're going to start at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. We will go for about an hour, and then we will go to our Patreon Live. And on the Patreon Live, you can call in, speak with me. We'll have a great conversation. A few less people, so more than likely, your questions will all be answered. So please sign up if you haven't already done so. Now to the docket. First, El Chapo. That's right. He is currently a resident here in the great state of Colorado down at the Florence ADX Supermax facility where he has not escaped yet. Well, his wife, she may have had different plans if she could make it happen, but Emma Coronel Aspuro, she's 31 years old. She is a dual Mexican and U.S. citizen, and she has now been arrested when she got off a plane in D.C. yesterday. For those of you who do not know, her husband, El Chapo Guzman, was the leader of Mexico's Sinaloa narcotics cartel, and he's now serving a life sentence. Well, he had a pretty good run of it, and he was actually arrested in Mexico and escaped, and then he was arrested again and brought to the United States in 2017, where he was charged with all of the drug conspiracy that he was found guilty of participating in and promptly received a life sentence. It is alleged that Ms. Coronel Aspuro assisted Mr. Guzman while he was in custody in helping to basically run his drug cartel while he was in custody, and also helped plan his escape back in 2015. This was more than just the doting wife who was visiting him in jail to keep that chin up kind of thing. No, she was actively participating in directing people to take action in the drug organization, as well as digging that tunnel. She will appear in court for a bond detention hearing today. And if I was a betting man, she is going to be detained pending trial. Most drug felonies, there is a presumption that the defendant is a danger to the community and a flight risk. Given the fact that Mr. Guzman was one of the wealthiest men in the world, even though you can't necessarily say where all his money was, it's estimated that he was worth billions and billions of dollars. That would provide resources for her to flee the jurisdiction and never to return. Fortunately for Ms. Coronel Aspuro, her husband's attorney is available. Attorney Jeffrey Lichtman states that he will be representing the Mrs. El Chapo. We'll see what kind of luck he has getting her out and whether he has better luck at trial than he did on the first case. Now, obviously, in the first case of Mr. Guzman, there were insiders explaining how he was involved in the drug trafficking organization that was basically worldwide. He probably didn't stand a chance at trial of being found not guilty, but there was no offer, and that's when you go to trial and you try to create appellate records so that hopefully there's something that can be reversed, at least for the defendant's sake. And then obviously the prosecution wants a nice clean trial so nothing can be reversed on appeal. Next on the docket, today marks the one-year anniversary regarding the death of Ahmaud Arbery. 1 year now. And Travis McMichael, Gregory McMichael, and William Roddy Bryan are all sitting in custody in Savannah waiting for trial. Now, they have repeatedly tried to have their bond reduced so that they could get out of custody pending trial, and the court has denied all of their requests. No current trial date is set, as that most courts around the country are on a reduced jury protocol so that they can take precautions for COVID-19. But when that trial goes, we will be watching. There's some very interesting legal issues, and I think, based upon my review of the Georgia statutes, a lot of the defenses that all three defendants were claiming existed to them will be rejected by the court, and they will more than likely not get those instructions. We'll have to wait and see. Guess where these pills were found? Yep, take a look at that picture. That there is some 5,000 fentanyl pills. Where was it found? Here in this little toy. An Arizona couple bought this toy at a rummage sale, and when they took the toy home to clean it, they were able to open it up, and that's what they found, some 5,000 fentanyl pills. Clearly, someone was trying to smuggle that. Shockingly, it made it to a thrift store where these parents ultimately found it. The police were, needless to say, very happy that the drugs were turned over and somehow not turned over to someone else where they could sell them on the street. Obviously, fentanyl is a very serious drug and should not be taken unless there is a prescription by a doctor. And usually, I think it's used in surgery. So there's literally no legitimate purpose to have it. But unfortunately, a lot of fentanyl pills are floating around out there, and a lot of people are dying because people are taking these drugs not knowing that they're in fact fentanyl and literally die within minutes. General rule of thumb, don't do drugs. Next general rule, don't take drugs from people when they're not prescribed by a doctor. Keep it simple, ladies and gentlemen, keep it simple. Next on the docket, this is an example of some very good police work. A woman reported that her granddaughter was missing about 6:15 p.m. on February 18th, so just a couple of weeks ago. The woman told the deputies that the 13-year-old girl did not attend her after-school basketball game and had not come home yet, and needless to say, she was worried. A friend of the victim told the deputy the missing girl was planning to go to a hotel with someone that she had met online, thinking that maybe this guy was somewhere from Florida with a T letter, T, in his name. The friend said she thought the missing girl might have been picked up at a local Dollar General store. Well, the police go over to the Dollar General store, ask the clerks if they recognize the girl, said yes, she was out here waiting for a ride, and her ride came and picked her up. The police go to the hotel, ask the clerk if anyone has checked in recently, and they also were able to look at the video, recognizing the vehicle there in the parking lot. They find out who was checked into that room. The police go to the room where they find a 22-year-old by the name of Tyler Thompson. He shows up at the door. The room is dark. He has no shirt on. And then the 13-year-old girl comes out and actually gives the police officer a hug. Clearly, she did not make a good choice and didn't want to be there. Fortunately, the police arrived in time. Our hat off to the grandmother for making that call. Hats off to the friend who was truthful about who this girl was going to go meet. And hats off to those police officers who literally rescued this girl. We will obviously give Mr. Thompson the presumption of innocence. I'd actually play you the body cam video, but guess what? YouTube would say that's too insensitive, too scary, and you adults are not capable of handling anything like this. So we will put it up on our Patreon page for all our Patreon members to watch. All right, a quick recess before we continue with the docket. If that story doesn't make you wonder, does anybody good exist in the world? Well, that's why we have criminal background searches. Please, go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, police need help trying to find this guy. I know it's not a great picture, but somebody has got to recognize something about this guy. Because he went to a home in Coral Springs, Florida the other day, and for no apparent reason, tried to burn it down. And the real problem with that is that the residents, a 70-year-old couple, was inside at the time. Nobody has any inclination as to who would try to harm these seniors. So if you, or maybe somebody says, hey, I recognize that guy, I recognize those shoes, I recognize that shirt, that's the guy. Let somebody know. And if you do have information about it, you can contact the Coral Springs Police Department at 954-346-1228. Arson is one of the most dangerous crimes around there because so many people can be killed so quickly, particularly if that thing just gets completely engulfed. It jumps to other homes. Who knows? It starts a huge fire. Most dangerous, this guy needs to be prosecuted and probably go to prison. So if you have information, let us know. And finally, today on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Meet 21-year-old Richard Lee Ortecho. He was driving the other day on I-95 in and out of traffic, and speeds were clocked anywhere between 120 and 127 miles per hour. Speed limit was 70 miles an hour. It's also alleged that Mr. Ortecho barely missed striking other vehicles, according to the police affidavit. When Mr. Ortecho did finally pull over, he said, quote, I'm sorry, I didn't know driving recklessly was illegal. Yes, it is, Mr. Ortecho, and when you admit to driving recklessly, you've just admitted to committing a crime. Congratulations, you're a dumb criminal contestant of the day. But wait, there's more. It gets even better. Why was Mr. Ortecho driving 120 miles an hour? That's right. He was listening to a song called Ciento Veinte, which means 120. So he was driving 120. Makes complete sense, right? It worked for Sammy Hagar when he said he couldn't drive 55. All right, that's all we have for you today. Please join us this evening when we go live. Please make sure you follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. That's right, I think we've got them just about all covered. And if you want that Crime Talk merchandise, hit the link below. It'll take you straight to Teespring. They will send you your gear within days. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you tonight on Crime Talk Live, 6 p.m. Mountain Time.